Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There are roughly 19,000 millionaires in the Bay State. And if you were to guess what they want to do with their money, you probably wouldn't guess that they want to pay more in taxes. That's true, unless they're a member of the group the Patriotic Millionaires. This group has joined a coalition called Raise Up Massachusetts to push for a new amendment to the Massachusetts Constitution that would add a 4% tax on all income above $1 million. That's in addition to the flat state income tax rate. Now, according to the Department of Revenue, the tax could generate an additional $2 billion for the state. The Patriotic Millionaires say the money could create better schools, repair and maintain roads, and yes, possibly even fix the MBTA. So what do you think? Is it a good idea? What are the potential downsides to raising taxes on Massachusetts millionaires? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So first, we're joined by Chuck Collins. He is co-founder of the Patriotic Millionaires. He's also a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. Chuck Collins, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, good to be with you, Meghna.
It's great to have you. So lay out your argument here briefly. Why is it that you want to raise taxes on Massachusetts millionaires?
Well, there's two good reasons. One is that a lot of our members come out of the life sciences, out of the high-tech sector. They believe it's good for business, for the Commonwealth to continue to invest in infrastructure, education. It's a good business environment. We tracked workers from around the country, and they like being and living in Massachusetts, and we want to retain the quality of life we have. But the other reason is essentially a fairness issue. Just like everybody else, we're watching how inequality is growing. We know that the lion's share of income gains over the last decade have gone to people in the top 1% in Massachusetts. We have one of the most regressive tax systems in the country. Our low-income earners pay a much higher share of income in state and local taxes than people at the top. So I think if we're going to not go into a deep austerity mode and make the kind of investments we need going forward, we basically need to raise some more revenue, and this is the fairest and most sensible way to do it.
Mm. Now, the Department of Revenue, as we quoted earlier, says that this additional 4% above the flat tax rate we already have on millionaires could generate, you know, almost or approximately $2 billion in additional funding for the state. I guess a lot of people, they might think, hey, that's a great idea. But what they're concerned about is they don't necessarily have confidence that the money would be used in the best interests of everybody else, as you just mentioned.
Well, I think we all need to be engaged in holding our local and state governments accountable for making sure money is spent well. I have pretty good confidence in the Commonwealth. I mean, one of the things that our members like about this is we deduct our state taxes from our federal taxes. We have more confidence the Commonwealth is going to use our tax dollars better at this point than sometimes the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that this is we have a dual responsibility, both to have a fair tax system and to be civically engaged to make sure spending is effective. And, you know, the big cost, runaway cost in Massachusetts, like in other states, has been health care. And so that's one of the places where a lot of our members and leaders, and along with the Alliance for Business Leadership in Massachusetts, have been pushing for reducing healthcare costs.
So let me ask you, Chuck, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm curious because you're also a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. And here we are having this conversation at virtually the same time where Mark Zuckerberg, you know, he's just recently announced that he and his wife are going to give away almost all of their $45 billion fortune over the course of their lifetimes. And so this raises the question, like, well, for why not rely or just I'll stick with the word rely. Why not rely on the wealthy and the super wealthy to do exactly what Zuckerberg is doing, that they're already being very philanthropic and they're giving their money away and they're putting it back into the system in a manner in which would do a lot of good. And we don't necessarily need the state to be the intermediary for that.
Well, I guess our view is that giving to charity is important, and our members and myself are very involved in that. But charity is not a substitute for taxation. I mean, the charitable sector does some things very well. We see a huge amount of investment in the hospital sector in Boston and other charitable endeavors, but the charity doesn't fund infrastructure. There is no foundation in Massachusetts building bridges and rail links and addressing the huge spending challenges around higher education. That's just not. So it's a both and. You know, we need to support charity. I mean, I'm co-authored a study today that the Forbes 400 now has more wealth than the bottom 61% of the population. Mm. And if we were to take a look at Massachusetts and identify the 400 highest income and highest net worth members of the Commonwealth, we would probably see a similar dynamic. Mm-hmm. So charity is not the answer to that.
Yeah.
Charity is part of it. And by the way, Mark Zuckerberg isn't giving to a charitable foundation. He's giving to an LLC, which is an extension of his private business efforts.
Well, I guess the argument there, though, is that an LLC could give away money more nimbly or perhaps even invest it in other for-profit endeavors, which might then make more money to give away to charities. I mean, that's an interesting point, but we could talk about that in a separate conversation. I am curious, though. In Massachusetts, if I have my history right here, we have actually had amendments or proposed amendments to the Constitution in the past that would have allowed for a graduated state income tax, but all of them, as far as I can remember, have failed. So what makes you think that we could buck that trend now?
Well, I was around in 1994 the last time, and one of the things about that initiative was it raised taxes on the top 8% of income earners and reduced them on the bottom 92% of income earners. It set up several multiple brackets. The what's different now is this is a very, very targeted tax. It's targeted at millionaires. It really is just a targeted segment. And what's also changed since 1994 is our common understanding of how extreme income and wealth inequalities become.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's changed is people understand that the rules of the economy have somewhat been rigged to benefit people at the top and at the expense of wage earners.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be raising taxes on low and middle income people in the Commonwealth any more than we are. So where's the money going to come from? It's going to come from the people who have done extremely well in the last 30 years.
Yeah. Well, we are talking about a proposed constitutional amendment that is to the Constitution of the State of Massachusetts that would allow for a quote-unquote millionaire's tax. It could raise taxes on Massachusetts millionaires by an additional 4%. And Chuck Collins is joining us. He's co-founder of the Patriotic Millionaires. They're one of the groups that's behind this effort. He's also a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. Chuck, can you stand by for just a second? Because I want to briefly introduce another voice into this conversation.
Absolutely.
He's Chip Faulkner, and he's the Associate Director of Citizens for Limited Taxation. He joins us today from Warwick, Rhode Island. Chip Faulkner, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. So first of all, I understand that Citizens for Limited Taxation calls this millionaire's tax idea absurd. Now, why is that?
Yes, it's just they're just trying to gouge more money out of us, and they're targeting a specific group to get the extra money. And the grad tax has been on the ballot five times since 1962, and it's been defeated every single time, usually by 2-to-1 margins. And the last time was in 1994. But right now, we have fair taxation. If you make $20,000, you pay 5%. If you make $500,000, you pay 5%. Fair is fair. And for them to single out one class of people is unfair, whether it's millionaires or people making $50,000.
Well, what about this? What about
that's not the real issue. The real issue is not the millionaires. The real issue is these people want to get the right to have a graduated income tax and set different rates for different classes of people. And this is their first step to going after everybody in the state with higher tax rates.
Well, Chip, let me ask you, because this is a point that Chuck made a couple of times. You're talking about fairness. I mean, there's the flip side to this. The Mass Budget and Policy Center reports that from 1979 to 2011, income for the highest 1% in Massachusetts grew 10 times faster than the bottom 90% of people in the state. They got almost half of all the income growth in the state during that period, the top 1%. How is that fair?
Well, I'm not going to get into that statistic because it doesn't matter. What matters is that you treat people fairly. And I'll give you one stat, that people that make $100,000 or more in Massachusetts provide 70% of the revenue the state takes in. People making more than 100 grand, that's 70%. That's almost three-quarters of the state budget. And they want to get even more. And what's going to happen is they're making all these grandiose predictions and all this money they're going to take in. What a lot of millionaires are going to do is they're going to get out of Dodge if this thing ever passes.
Okay, Chip, stand by for a second. I'm asking you to stand by for just a second because you made an interesting point there that I want to turn back to Chuck Collins, because we're seeing a report from a group, Change Maryland, which opposes a millionaire's tax in Maryland. And they say in 2012, a similar policy instituted by then-Governor Martin O'Malley pushed out 31,000 residents from Maryland. They did move to another state because of the tax.
I want to turn that
question to Chuck Collins and get his response from that. Chuck, you want to chime in?
You know, I'm not familiar with that study. I am more familiar with New Jersey, where they also instituted a higher income tax rate, and it did not have an effect on top earners. I mean, frankly, Massachusetts, if you look at all the states that and the quality of life, Massachusetts has among the highest quality of life. There's a reason why people are here and want to stay here, including the most affluent members of the Commonwealth. The other thing I would just say about this point,
why don't you and your millionaire friends just form a club and voluntarily give the money, as much money as they want, to the state, to education, to the highways, to the SEALs. They could give a gazillion dollars. Just don't force people to conform to what you want by taking money out of their wallets.
Okay, let's give Chuck a chance to respond to that.
Well, we're talking about the tax system. We're not talking about the charity system and a system by which we together form a commonwealth. And here's an important point. I mean, Chip's point is we do have a flat tax now. But what that means is that if you look at the overall tax obligations at the state and local level, including property taxes and sales taxes, people in the bottom fifth in Massachusetts pay 10.5% of their income in taxes. And people at the very top with incomes over $860,000 pay 6.5% of their income in taxes, including all the state and local taxes. So what most states do, Massachusetts is unique, and a couple of states have state flat income taxes. They have a graduated income tax, which offsets the regressivity of the other taxes. We don't have that in Massachusetts. We're locked into a regressive tax system because of our state constitution.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, stand by for just a second, because I do want to give Chip a chance to respond, and then I've got a bunch of callers who want to join us. So Chip, give us your response to that quickly, if you could.
Sure. Massachusetts overall is one of the most heavily taxed states in the country. You take all the taxes on a per capita basis, we're easily in the top six or seven states in terms of being taxed. So what we don't need is another tax.
Well, Chip Faulkner, let me just jump in there because I want to be able to keep some room here for our callers who want to join us. Chip Faulkner is the Associate Director for Citizens for Limited Taxation. Pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today, Chip. Well, let's turn to Samuel, who's calling from Shirley. You're on the air, Samuel.
Hi, thank you. I did want to say that I believe this is wrong, because regardless of how people have made their millions, if they did want to, forcing everybody to pay just because some people feel that they should pay more it's just morally wrong.
Okay. Samuel, thank you so much for your call. Chuck Collins, once again there, Samuel, sort of echoing what Chip Faulkner said, that that he believes that not all of the 19,000 millionaires in Massachusetts, you know, would agree with paying more taxes. I mean, what's your response to that?
No, I'm sure that there are many millionaires that will organize and oppose this and spend money. And I guess I'm just saying there's a growing percentage of people, both the Patriotic Millionaires and the Alliance for Business Leadership, who are going to pay this tax and are going to support it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, you know, taxation is it's compulsory. That's the fact. We're advocating for a system. We're not saying some people should be forced to do something and others not. Right now, under the current rules, lower income people have a heavier tax obligation. That's
right.
Just a fact.
Well,
and Massachusetts isn't Taxachusetts anymore. We're right in the middle of the pack. We're number 22 in terms of state tax bite, if you will.
Let's get another call in here. Paul is calling from Brookline, New Hampshire. You're on the air, Paul.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I agree with Chip in that targeting a specific group does sound punitive. However, I am totally on Chuck's side. It seems to me that the wealthy do need to pay more of their share. They have the opportunity to hide and shelter their sources of revenue so that they're not considered income, so they don't get taxed. Can't we, instead of passing an amendment, which might be seen as punitive and drive people out, work on that level so that income is called income and it's taxed fairly, so that the more you make, the more you contribute, instead of the more you make, the less you contribute?
Paul, thank you so much. It's a great question, and thank you so much for your call. And Chuck, if I can just dovetail with what Paul's asking, is this ordinary income we're talking about? Because, I mean, there's still the whole issue of capital gains and dividends income that's taxed at an entirely different rate. And for a lot of people, that is the source of their wealth.
Absolutely. I think Paul's on to something. You know, a lot of the loopholes, unfortunately, are things that are at the federal level. So I agree. We should, you know, the Patriotic Millionaires we're very active in both trying to close off what we call the offshore system, where people are moving their money out of the country, as well as all these loopholes and trusts that that wealthy families use. So we need to sort of clamp down on that. But we also think capital gains income should be taxed at the same level as work income, wage income. So it's true that the ballot initiative is focused on earned income, what we call earned income, as opposed to passive or capital income. But we think it should be aligned,
yeah,
you know, as a federal policy for certain.
Well, let's get another call here. Sarah is calling from Somerville. You're on the air, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I teach my seventh graders about social contract theory, the idea that we have to put something into our government to get something back. And, you know, to bring in sort of the Elizabeth Warren point of view, the millionaires in this state did not build it. They, you know, they were taking things, all kinds of things from our Commonwealth in order to build their wealth. And so I think it's only natural that they pay in a larger percentage of their income. And I'd like your guests to speak to that point.
Okay. Chuck Collins, your thought to go with what Sarah asked.
I think at a philosophical level, a lot of our members and myself believe that we together have, in the Commonwealth, have built a rather incredible, fertile ground for business opportunity and for wealth creation, and that nobody does it alone. And in fact, it would be very, very difficult to kind of create the kind of wealth that we have here in other countries that don't have the same rules and public investments. So this is a way, progressive taxation, the moral rationale for progressive taxation is those who have disproportionately benefited from the public investments that we all make together should pay back to society so that other people who are not born wealthy can have the same opportunities they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes a Commonwealth a we, as opposed to a sort of fragmented society. And we're moving toward more and more of that polarization. And here in Massachusetts, we have an opportunity to continue to try to grow together.
So, Chuck, if I can just jump in here, because we just got under a minute to go. You know, as you're saying, we have that opportunity. But on the other hand, there's the reality of getting the constitution of this Commonwealth changed. It's not an easy road or mountain to climb. I mean, you did submit, the Raise Up Coalition submitted more than 150,000 signatures to Secretary of State Bill Galvin to get a ballot question on, but it wouldn't be on until 2018 because it has to go through a legislative process before that. How confident are you that we will even get to a ballot question in 2 years or 3 years from now?
Well, one thing is that all those signatures were collected by volunteers. There's all and people in religious congregations and in the business community and all around Massachusetts were involved in that. And I think what's going to have to happen in the next year and a half is we just need to keep having this conversation you and I are having right now, which is, so what's really at stake here? And what is the rationale for raising a millionaire tax? It's not the prettiest thing to have to change a constitution. I wish our tax code wasn't in the constitution. That said, you know, that's our work before us.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope we talk about these issues of inequality, about how every child in Massachusetts should have the access to the kind of education that the children of the affluent have in this commonwealth. That's what's going to bring us together. Otherwise, we're going to be like Brazil. You know, we're going to move toward a more and more polarized a society that's really not going to have the kind of excellence and quality that we aspire
right.
and desire.
Well, Chuck Collins is co-founder of the Patriotic Millionaires. He's also a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. Chuck Collins, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
There's more of the show coming up in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.